You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Kings came in averaging 95 and a fraction per game, next to last in the NBA. They're going to leave the building with 91 in their pocket, and they lose by 27. The final score is 118 to 91.
Welcome into a new week of episodes of Locked On Kings. You heard the rejoiner there, the highlight or the low light of the Saturday loss in New York for the Sacramento Kings. A tough night for the Kings in New York. Two-game win streak has come and gone. And despite a strong start, they eventually lost to New York. And we will cover that game. I'm going to tell you some things that went wrong that day. Also, look ahead to Washington, which will begin this week of games for the Kings. Kings have a busy week, playing Monday against Washington, Wednesday in Atlanta. And then they come back home for a Friday game against Portland, only to go right back to Portland in a home-and-home and play the Blazers on Saturday. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday games coming up for the Sacramento Kings. So we'll cover that. We'll look ahead to Washington, as I mentioned, some rookie rankings and some things I like, some things I don't like, all that and so much more coming up on today's edition of Locked On Kings. But let's start with that Knicks game on Saturday. So everybody was feeling really good about the Kings, as they should. Just a couple of wins in a row to get three wins on the season. The way they beat Oklahoma City, and just a solid performance all the way through. And then the thriller with Philadelphia, in which, you know, everybody's still buzzing about the last second shot or last sequence offensively for De'Aaron Fox to hit his first career game winner. So really, the Kings' confidence, it's early in the season, had to be going into New York at a high point because they got two quality wins at home. They had just come off a seven-game losing streak. Then they win two in a row and feeling better about the way they were playing, offensively moving the ball, being crisp, defensively keeping true to their discipline of what they want from their head coach. And a lot of things were good going in for the Kings. What they didn't know going into that game in New York against the Knicks was, would Kristaps Porzingis play? He had missed the previous game. Without him, they're an ordinary team. With him, they're showing they could be pretty special. And so in that game, the Kings got off to an excellent start. It was 10-0, and it was something exact opposite of what they've been doing as of late. But after that, that seemed to just be evaporated quickly, as many people played well for the New York Knicks. Enes Kanter had 17 and 13. Courtney Lee added 20. But the star of the night, without question, was Kristaps Porzingis.
Courtney Lee makes a move to the left, feeds it back to Porzingis, fires over Cauley-Stein, and drills the three ball. Kristaps Porzingis hitting his 20th three-pointer in his 50th attempt of the season. That's 40% from downtown, and we're talking about a 7-3 presence outside the arc. Tied at 15 as the Knicks inbound. Porzingis for three, score it on the left angle. Boy, his shot is so quick. Again, talking about a 7-3 presence out there, and the Knicks have taken their first lead. They're on top by three at 18-15. New York now 7-15. Four of the seven made field goals are from three-point range. Porzingis on the left wing now, without putting it on the floor, launches and hits another three. Kristaps Porzingis, averaging 30 points a game, has an 11-point first quarter after a slow start. Knicks lead by six for the first time at 27-21. Ntilikina goes between the legs with a dribble, then throws to the right wing and gets it back from Porzingis. Fakes the pull-up for three, hesitates, sets up the teardrop. Spike Porzingis! Oh, my goodness, that was spectacular. It's 32-23. Porzingis going to try for another three. He scores his fourth of the evening. He now has 27 points. It's a 20-point New York lead. It's 71-51. Dave Yeager and the Kings taking an early timeout. We've only played a little bit over 2.5 minutes of this second half. All Knicks.
Watching Porzingis and thinking about him, I've seen him play in person a couple times against the Kings, and to be honest, there's two meetings in Sacramento. He has not been that strong, but he was fantastic on Saturday night, scoring 34 points. And, you know, the Knicks have had some tough struggles going, too, and I think of the one thing that Phil Jackson got right in New York was feeling confident that Kristaps Porzingis could be something special. His height makes him difficult. His skill makes him difficult, and he has just blossomed and gotten better. And we're seeing a dawning of some other great young players in this league that have taken a few years to get better. Giannis Antetokounmpo is having a sensational beginning to his season, but so is Kristaps Porzingis. He's made the Knicks more exciting. He's made them better, and people in New York are probably excited about New York basketball again. But He's fun to watch. He's a unique player. There's not many players like him, just that, you know, all the different things he can do. And to see all the skill that's being on display, I would think that's probably the biggest change. I know we always talk about three-pointers and big guys shooting threes. Well, that's a skill. That's a skill development that's happened. And until it cycles again in which people start to find dominant big men down low, if your big men can stretch the floor, put the ball on the deck, create havoc at the rim offensively and defensively, and with his shooting ability, with his length, and with his overall size, he just is a matchup nightmare. And Willie tried. They tried everybody. Zebo, laps of different people on Kristaps Porzingis, and they certainly didn't have an answer for him on Saturday night. So we mentioned him with 34. We mentioned Courtney Lee had 20. Enes Kanter with 17 points and 13 rebounds. Now, on the other side for the Kings, Scalabissiere, who hasn't been playing a ton as of late, ended up contributing a team-high 19 points. Buddy Hield had 17 off the bench again. And unfortunately for the Kings, who are now 3-9, what's going on here is the road games are in a spot where they're not really that competitive. And that's something that I've talked about many times on this podcast, about trying to build, and where you start is winning at home, being more competitive at home, winning those games. Well, you also have to take some of that and be in games on the road in the second half in the NBA. And right now, the Sacramento Kings are having all sorts of trouble winning on the road. They're 1-6. But even being in games, and the Knicks, once they got that lead, just kind of really secured it, felt good about it, and extended and pushed the Kings away and kept them away with another strong performance overall. So Kings have to keep working on what they're doing defensively, offensively, everywhere, but certainly finding a better continuity on the road. And when you're playing a lot of young guys, I think that's where it starts to show its effect of some struggles in consistency, where the Kings would have stretches of good minutes on the road, but they can't stretch that out into longer chunks, half a quarter, full quarter, a half. We're just not seeing that from the Sacramento Kings. Now, there's more things that were negative that I didn't like, but how about what I did like on Saturday? And now it's not only just Saturday, but this is something that I've seen here for quite a few games, and it's a move the Kings have made, moving Buddy Hield to the bench, and just looking up some of the numbers on what he's done as a bench player, it's pretty impressive. And, you know, hopefully we'll get to see and hear more of this coming up from Buddy Hield.
Aaron Fox gets a screen from Kuflis, goes right, throws back left, uncovered in front of the Kings bench for three, is Hield, and Buddy makes the Knicks pay the price. Buddy Hield knocks down his second three-pointer. 39-34, New York with the five-point advantage. Costa comes over, sets a pick. Buddy to his left, pulls up, 17-footer, nails it. Buddy Hield now 3 of 4 from the floor. He has 8 points. He becomes Sacramento's leading scorer. 43-42, New York leading by one. Buddy with a clock at three. Step back, Jay from 20. He's got another one. 13 first half points for Buddy Hield off the bench. 5 point game at 30-25. Rebound goes to Kuffis. He's got his 10th board. Here's a three on the way. Sacramento. Buddy Hield nails the triple. It is raining threes at Golden 1 Center. The Kings have their first 5 point lead of the evening. It's 54-49. Buddy Hield now has 8 points. He's 2 of 3 from downtown. Ball in the hands of Hield now on the right wing. Smothered there by Paul George. Gives it up to Zebo. Back out to Hield. Good look at three, and he scores the triple. Boy, that worked nicely. Jaeger loved that. So that tells me that that was clearly a design play out of the timeout. And it got the straightaway open look for Hield, and he delivered. 81-76, Kings.
So it shows in the numbers, too. I mean, you heard the highlights there from the G-Man about what Buddy Hield has done. Those were over a couple of games. You heard the Knicks. I think it was OKC in there. Also the win against Philadelphia. So he's been on the bench now the month of November, 5 games. The month of October, you know, the first 7 games, he started. And we've said it, we'll say it again, it doesn't really matter if you start or finish. And in this case, Buddy Hield comes off the bench, gets to play against a lot of the second teams around the league. And the game that really stood out to me was when the Kings played Oklahoma City. Kings offense was struggling with the starters. Bench came in, made that historic day where they scored the first 29 points before a starter scored. So Justin Jackson got it going, then Buddy Hield got it going. And he was going against Abrines of Oklahoma City. He got warm, and he really got going in that first run through for Buddy Hield. Then Billy Donovan had to make an adjustment and put Roberson back in the game, a really good perimeter defender, and slow down Buddy a little bit. But you made the other team react because you're going against what you would consider a subpar defender compared to what Roberson can do. And so Buddy Hield took advantage of that and utilized that and went to work. And I think he's in that spot a lot as a second unit guy, and his minutes are roughly going to be about the same, but he's got to be aggressive. And when he is, he comes in, he knows he's in there to score, and he could be this team's leading scorer and even be a bench guy. That is very, very possible. Here are the numbers to kind of expand on what's going on with Buddy Hield. In October, as a starter, 10 points per game, 35% from the floor. Not good numbers there shooting. 22% three-point shooting, getting about 3.5 rebounds, a 1.5 assist number a night, and he did that in 23.5 minutes. So that was October in starts. 7 starts, really not a very strong game in there, but just way subpar shooting, lower scoring average than he's been getting in his brief NBA career. And it was tough. It just didn't quite get the start that he was hoping for, and certainly the starters were hoping for. So now, since Dave Yeager has moved him to the bench, this seems to be a role he has identified. Buddy has accepted the role, says he likes coming off the bench, and now we're seeing good results. Buddy Hield in November as a reserve, coming off the bench in 5 games. It's not the largest sample size, but the starter numbers I gave you were 7 games. But in 5 games, 15 points. So he's up 5 from his other scoring in October, all while coming off the bench. Here's the numbers that are great. Shooting percentage at 52% compared to 35, so 17% better. You get him beyond the arc where he was shooting 22%, now 65% as a reserve, making, you know, roughly 2, almost 3 three-pointers a game off the bench. His rebounding is nearly doubled. It was 3-4, goes up to 6-6. So that's a great number to give you other kind of things to contribute to help make you win besides his scoring, but getting some key rebounds. Assist goes up a little bit from 1-6 to 2-2. And all of this coming off the bench, he's averaging 1 more minute a game. That's it. From 23.6 minutes to 24.6. He looks comfortable. Looks like his teammates are comfortable finding him coming off the bench. And it just fits. I think it's the good spot for him. So in a season that sees the team at 3-9, only very little things to grab your, you know, momentum on and things that you like so far early, besides the De'Aaron Fox game winner, the mini 2-game win streak, the 1 road win, those are 3 wins, that's all. But now finding a role for Buddy that seems to suit him, it seems to work for that second unit. You know, the Kings' number 2 bench scoring team in the league, Buddy's a big part of that, and he may ultimately end up being the leading scorer of this team on a nightly basis. And you can do that as a bench guy. You can be a Manu Ginobili, Jason Terry, Bobby Jackson, you know, Jamal Crawford, these guys that have been great scorers in the league and found that role to be very productive for him. And I think this is a really good spot for Buddy Hield. So in the early part of the season that didn't have as many things to be positive about, that is one I think right now that I definitely like that's going on with the Sacramento Kings. We've also said that this season is about development, finding the young players, Buddy Hield, who we just talked about, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Scalabi's here, Willie Cauley-Stein, the whole list, Mason, Giles, De'Aaron Fox. How do those guys get better? Are they getting better? Can we see tangible improvement? Well, it's going to take time to really capture all of that, but we're in the early part, and you know, this has been a very impressive rookie class. Watching these guys on a nightly basis, I've been impressed by what a lot of them can do, and so kind of doing my searching, doing some notes, reading around the internet, finding different people talking about this rookie class. CBS Sports does their NBA rookie rankings, much like we have Scott Howard Cooper that does his rookie ladder. So here's what CBS Sports has for us today on their rookie rankings. On the couple that have dropped out, guys that are getting off to decent starts, John Collins from the Hawks, who the Kings will play on Wednesday. Mike James, a guard from the Suns, who the Kings have already faced. On the bubble, Malik Monk of the Hornets, Jonathan Isaac from the Magic, and Justin Jackson getting mentioned. He's been impressive. I like the way Justin Jackson has played as a starter or coming off the bench. He's coming in. He looks confident, doesn't make mistakes, can shoot the ball a little bit. I like what Justin Jackson has added for the Kings. All right, so now we go from 10 to 1 in this rookie rankings. 10, they put Frank Ntilikina from the New York Knicks. So the Kings just saw him. Doesn't get a lot of stats, but looks pretty comfortable and is only going to get better. Here's a guy that's been a surprise at number 9, where he was drafted and the contributions he's making, Dylan Brooks. just knew how to play at Oregon. I was a good player at Oregon, gets drafted, goes to Memphis, about 8 points, five boards in his games last week. At eight, Donovan Mitchell from the Utah Jazz. I think people need to watch him. He's been given an opportunity to be more aggressive offensively. Quinn Snyder's given him that green light, and he has taken advantage of it last week, averaging about 16 points, three boards, nearly two assists. Also on the CBS Sports rookie rankings, and they've going to keep moving up to number seven, Lonzo Ball. Ball became the youngest player to get a triple-double. His shooting has been hideous, but he knows how to play, and he's making his teammates better. Number six, De'Aaron Fox. Here's what it says about Fox. Stats last week, 11.7 points per game, 6.3 assists, two rebounds. The week before, he was ranked eight, so he moves up two spots. Fox capped off the week by hitting his first game winner of his career with 7 seconds left to beat the Sixers at home. He improved his efficiency, shooting 43% from the field as the Kings went 2-1. Fox still has yet to find the three-point range, but he is brutal on defenses in transition, and his pull-up jumper is looking smooth. And I agree with that. I think the pull-up jumper looks pretty good. There's a good rhythm to that. He's just not consistent yet with his other jump shots, the long two or the one beyond the arc. But it's going to take time, and he will work on it, but I like a lot of things we're seeing from De'Aaron Fox. Number five, they list Lauri Markkanen from the Chicago Bulls. Number four, Dennis Smith Jr. This guy is really athletic as he had a good week. 18 points, five boards, 4.5 assists. Kyle Kuzma has been one of the great finds as a later pick. He's helping out the Lakers. Number two, Jason Tatum in the rookie rankings. And the number one NBA rookie power ranking on this list, according to CBS Sports, is Ben Simmons. And seeing him in person, he is going to be a handful to deal with going forward. He's so big, good handles. Shot is a little bit broken, but he'll work on that, much like Lonzo Ball, much like De'Aaron Fox. Anybody that even can shoot a little bit is going to get better as a shooter and more consistent. But he's physically imposing, big target. He's going to get stronger. He's quick, uses his right, his left equally as impressively. He is going to be nice. He is going to be a really good player, and I agree completely with having him at number one in the NBA power rookie power rankings, according to CBS Sports. And now that we finished another week, by the way, of football, want to remind you to check out the entirety of our Locked On Network. Good time to check out Locked On Raiders. I know they had a bye week, but Locked On Niners, 49ers. How about that? Get off the schneid and get their first win. So want to get the latest on that, check out the entirety of our Locked On Network. Let's close things out with a look at the opponent on Monday. It's the Washington Wizards. Kings have already faced them, played just a terrible game against Washington. Caught them at the wrong time. Washington comes in now at 7-5. Once they beat the Kings, they went they've gone 3-3. And why I say the Kings played them last time at a terrible time. Washington had lost two games in a row, lost a bad one to the Lakers, blew a big lead at the Warriors. Kings started all their young guys, and I just felt like they walked into a very difficult situation. Wizards dodged a bullet by not getting a suspension from Bradley Beal. They had their guys, and they jumped on the Kings quickly and cruised to victory that day at Golden 1 Center not that long ago. So now you're in a spot where the Kings are back at it, playing them for the final time this regular season. And I said they went 3-3 since that win against the Kings. They're now 7-5 overall, and that win was a 110-83 blowout of Sacramento. Their wins in that stretch, they've been able to beat the Lakers. They got a win against Atlanta and Toronto. Their losses, well, they lost to Phoenix, who's not a great team. They lost to Dallas, who was just their second win at the time. And they lost to Cleveland. So Washington, they've had some curious losses. I'm a little bit disappointed by their start. I really am a believer in what Washington can be with that great backcourt, with the experience now. They've played a lot of games together. Bench is a little bit more than we thought going into the season. And Scott Brooks is a good coach. So this is going to be a difficult matchup for the Sacramento Kings for many reasons, but maybe the most telling one would be this far into the season where Washington ranks offensively. Number two offense in the NBA, scoring just under 112 points per game. We know it's difficult for the Kings to score, so how will Sacramento match up? How will they handle the high pace that Washington's going to want to play? So Kings are going to have to slow that down, score when they have the opportunity, limit turnovers, and hope they have a good shooting night. If they do that, they'll have a chance to compete on the road, which is something we mentioned earlier they haven't been doing enough of. And if they don't do that, look for it to be a long night with maybe the one hope of getting a win on the road trip Wednesday against Atlanta. But there's still a lot to be decided how that will all go. And we'll recap it all, of course, tomorrow when I'm back for another edition of Kings Locked On Kings, but after they play the Washington Wizards. So we'll recap all that tomorrow. We do thank you for listening. And tell a friend. Let them know we're out there on all our different platforms. So again, thank you so much. Back again tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.